Good morning. Can you guys hear? All right. So, how are you guys feeling today?
Awesome.
All right. Well, you may not feel good after this. So, how many times you have heard a preacher say this? I don't know about you, right? As he prepares his and cocks his gun to fire at you. So, I'm going to fire that at myself, as I'm going to fire that out to you. So, today I want to share a story with you guys. A few years back, maybe a couple of years ago, I was hearing a sermon from, I don't know if you know him, his name is Bob Thibault. He's the dad of Tim Thibault, and he's basically an evangelist, and he does a lot of evangelist work in Southeast Asia. So he's telling the story about how he goes out in Southeast Asia, basically preaching the gospel, going to small villages, sharing the good news. In all these villages, they don't have electricity or anything like that. So they take up generator and they set it up. So they can show the Jesus film, and also they set up the lights, you know, so people can see him when he's preaching the word. So he goes to these villages where there's a lot of Muslims, and as he's sitting there, you know, the light is just reflecting on him so people can actually see him, but he cannot see on the other side because it's dark. He went there many times. He was going to get shot. He said, I don't know if I'm going to get shot tonight, or I'm going to get stabbed, or somebody's going to come out of the dark and do something to me. But he went many, many nights doing this, preaching the good news to the Muslim people in Southeast Asia. And he said, I offered my life many, many nights. He say, I know I can lay down my life for Jesus. I know I can do it because he did it. He went out and did it over and over and over again. As I was hearing this story, it really shocked me. And I thought, it actually made me cry. If I think about it too much, I'll probably cry again. I don't want to do that here, but so anyhow, it made me cry because I couldn't say that about myself. I never done that. Right? So we say that we believe in Jesus, right? We all say here, I believe in Jesus, but how much do we believe? How deep is you believe in him? Right? When we share the gospel, when you share the good news, you're doing it in obedience to the Lord, to Christ, and something changes inside of you. It's not the same to say, I believe in Jesus, then go in there and share the gospel for other people to believe in Jesus. So something changes in your life, and something changes inside of you, and it galvanizes your soul. You are a completely different person. You are in a completely different level. And how do you know that? You know that because you are fulfilling the command that Jesus gave us. He said, go out and share the good news. So if you go back and then read the Gospels, Jesus asked three times if he could, you know, not do it. She said, I don't know if I can die on the cross. He prayed three times to the Heavenly Father, can I bypass this? And God said, no. You know the answer because he died on the cross. But Jesus accepted the will of God. and obey. If we display Hebrews 5:7, he said, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission, even though he was the Son of God. He learned through obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Jesus went and proved it. He went out and died for us on the cross and obeyed our Heavenly Father. So if we go to Hebrews 5:11, we have much to say about this. He's talking about the previous chapter that I don't have time to go into. He said, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you are to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, no solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So by constant use of the Word of God and by actually applying it in your life and teaching it, you can distinguish from good and evil. So you may ask, what does has to do with obedience? Well, why is the obedience here the subject? So let's keep moving. So if we have been Christians for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, or more, we ought to be teachers and doers of the word of God. Because faith with our works is dead, right? You hear many, many times. If you go and read Matthew 25, which is not here, it's about the bags of gold that he gives to different people. And then what do people do with the money, right? Some people just go and bury it. Other people go and invest it and produce. So when we do the Word of God and we teach, instruct, and we practice by living it, we don't do the Word of God but just put it on the shelf. So when we go to work, you know, okay, Sunday I come here, do the Word of God, talk about God, and then I go to work and I'm a different person. So in doing the Word of God, you will find fulfillment in life. If you're looking for fulfillment, do the Word of God. If you're looking for a cause, do the Word of God. This is the reason that we keep pushing forward. We share the obedience of Christ by sharing the gospel. You obey our Heavenly Father by offering the salvation that Jesus gave us. You actually, when you do that, you partake in the salvation. So you are the missionary per se, the representative of Christ in going out and offering that salvation just like Jesus did. So if we go to Hebrews 6, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go out unto maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God and of instruction about watching the laying on of the hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permits. For it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who having tasted heavenly gift, basically salvation, we have shared in the Holy Spirit, and we have tasted the goodness of the Word of God, and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding him up to contempt. For land that has drunk the rain that often falls on it and produces a crop useful to those for whose sake it is cultivated receives a blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it is worthless and near to being cursed. It is end to be burned. So, we as Christians, if we have been Christian for 3, 5, 6, 7 years, whatever, you ought to be moving on to maturity. We ought to produce fruit, and we are to be productive, becoming a blessing to God. You ought to become useful to him. If all we produce is thorns and thistles, we are basically worthless. Like, we are not worthless because Christ died for us on the cross, but because we don't produce anything. And here we are, not talking about salvation. This is not about salvation. We are talking about fruitfulness as a believer in Jesus Christ. That is the warning for me and for you. If we don't produce, it is not pressure. This is not pressure. This is purposelessness. We have a purpose in God to go out and share the gospel. Amen. So, one example, Al. So, you have teenager sons, right? So you wake up in the morning one day, and then, or any day, and you say, "Son, today I just want to sit on the couch and do nothing. This is my wish for you. To just sit there." No, right? As parents, we want our kids to have a purpose, to do something, right? So the same thing. It's from our Heavenly Father towards us. It's the same thing. So we cannot go back to the old ways or sitting permanently on idol. So we don't want to be an idol forever, just waiting for something to happen. What is it that we're waiting for? Ask your Heavenly Father, what is it that he wants you to do? Is there anything that I can do? I want you can ask your Heavenly Father and say, "I want to walk your will." You can ask him, and he'll have an answer for you. I promise you that. Here's another question. When is your eternal life started? Your eternal life is started when you accepted Jesus Christ. Therefore, be productive in the journey with Christ. Following Jesus can be challenging, and it is hard, but the path that leads to eternal life is narrow. Does it get scary sometimes? Yes, it does. Do you have problems? Sure. Did you stumble? Of course. But you get up right away and keep moving. You are here alive, like we all are here. We are alive in this world. We have an opportunity that God has given us to be purposeful in our walk with the Lord. Finally, I want to say this. For Janine and I, it took us probably around 10 years to do anything. We sat an idol. We were called to do things, and we just turned the other way. But finally, we couldn't take it anymore. You know, at some point, you grow up, and you say, "I'm done with this. You know, I got to be purposeful. I don't want my time to be up and then show up in front of God and with nothing to show for." Is it perfect? Do you have to be perfect doing this? No. Do all the people that God put in our path commits to the Lord? Nope. Not everybody. But you have to be willing, be willing to hear the call of Jesus. Always have eternity on your radar. Be always open to be in a dialogue. Be always open to talk to people. You never know where the conversation can lead. It may lead, nowhere. Or it may lead to Jesus. So now, when you go out, you go back home, and before you go to bed, ask the Lord, what is the will for you? What is His will for you? Ask Him, what can I do in the kingdom of God? God bless.